Today, I would like to share with you the story of my journey as I was looking for the truth, religious truth to be exact. I was born in the mid-20th century in the San Fernando Valley of California. I don't remember my parents talking about religion or attending church. My mother was raised Catholic, and in fact, I'm told I was baptized as an infant in the Catholic tradition. But before I ever went to Mass, my mother became angry with Catholicism's interference in her life, and she quit going to church altogether. My father was never drawn to any sort of religions, so my parents were not church people. And this was fine with me. After all, what does a preschooler know about such things? When I was in the third grade, a neighbor invited me to attend Sunday school with her. It sounded like fun, so I went along without any particular expectations. In the classes for my age level, the goal was to earn a Bible. To earn a Bible, you had to be able to recite several Bible passages such as God so loved the world, the Sermon on the Mount, the Ten Commandments, then recite a psalm or two, and list the books of the Old and New Testaments, probably do a few other tasks that I don't quite remember. And I was able to earn that Bible, and I still have it. And I can still recite the beginning of the list of the books of the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st and 2nd Kings, and there it gets to be kind of a muddle. But I remember those things. Memorization was a challenge, but I don't remember it had any requirement about believing, either in the Bible itself or in Jesus. My family moved to Northern California when I was 10. And once again, a neighbor invited me to attend her church. The First Methodist Church of Campbell, California became my church home. I attended Sunday school regularly, joined the youth choir in the seventh grade, and I went every Sunday evening to youth group. And I fell in love with my first boyfriend at this church. I remember Sunday school as mainly a social time, and we frequently walked across the street to McDonald's for a snack as the lesson of the day. I went every Sunday through all my high school years and loved the church community and especially singing in the choir. In the eighth grade, we took confirmation classes, which allowed us to become members of the church. We had to make a statement of our personal belief in God as the Father and creator of the world and the universe, and as Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We had to attest to a belief that Jesus was born from Mary, a virgin, and that he performed miracles such as walking on water and raising people from the dead, and he was able to heal lepers, and that he was killed by crucifixion, and he rose from the dead 3 days later, and he went up to heaven, where he still resides, and he is there to be my friend. Not wanting to be left out, I took the oath. However, this is when I started to have doubts. I didn't feel that Jesus and I had a personal relationship. I had a hard time believing that he was born from a virgin. I mean, really? And that he could walk on water and bring dead people back to life? It just didn't seem like it could be possible. But okay, after all, he was God's son, so I went along with it. I did think he had a great message to tell the world about how to treat one another and how to live in peaceful, respectful world. During the summer when I was in high school, I went to church camp up in the redwoods near Lake Tahoe. One summer, it became very important for all the kids at camp to be able to talk about how they had a relationship with Christ and that he was their friend, not to mention their Savior. Once again, I felt so lacking. I just didn't feel it, but I needed to. I felt desperate to fit in. So after a time alone in the woods, when the group got together again, I revealed to everyone how I had actually seen Christ walking toward me through the woods. There he was, dressed in a long white gown, glowing, silent. But there he was. Finally, I had an experience of Christ I could tell. The problem was, I knew I had made it up. Yep, I made it up. The whole thing. But was I going to tell that to anyone? No, I was finally going to fit in. But this was a problem. I knew I was lying. And I began to wonder what was wrong with me that Jesus didn't actually speak to me or come to me. Why did I have to lie and make it up? Why did I have so much trouble believing? Let's stop for a moment while I define believe. Webster says, believe, to have a firm religious faith, to accept trustfully and on faith, also to have a firm conviction as to the reality or goodness of something, also to consider something to be true. So let's look at that other word, faith, from Webster's again. Faith, firm belief in something for which there is no proof. Yes, believe when there's no proof. Yikes. Once again, I found I was not able to do this. It did not make sense to me. And why did it matter anyway? I agreed with the crux of the message of Jesus, to love one another, to be kind, to live a true and honest life, etc., etc. In fact, I have said many times, and I still say, that if by some magic Jesus should appear and actually show up and talk to me, he would be okay with me. I'm not a bad person. Sure, I've done some bad and stupid things, but in general, I'm doing okay, or even better than okay. During my college years and afterward, when I was in the Peace Corps in Thailand, the idea that Jesus was the one and only Savior, and that believing in him was the only option, or you would not be saved, this also did not feel right. What about all the wonderful Thai villagers that I worked with? How could I support a religion that would condemn them, and more than half of the world as well? So I lived with this feeling of not quite measuring up, of being deficient in the faith department, and wondering what was wrong with me that I just couldn't believe. But I couldn't. So I pretended. I lied about it. Especially when we moved to North Florida, which is considered part of the Deep South, where going to church was a more important activity than any other time or place in my life. In the culture of the Deep South, if you want to have friends or any kind of social life, you must go to church. All activities center around the church, and there's a rivalry about which church is the true church, which they all claim to be. We went to the Presbyterian Church. After 7 years or so, with me not letting on that I had no faith, so embarrassing and outside of what seemed to be so normal there, I lost my place. I was attending a Sunday school class. And to this group of adults that I had known for many years by then, and who knew me, I revealed my deep doubts about having to have faith in the miraculous nature of Jesus, and how I just couldn't believe that he had walked on water, raised people from the dead, and even the biggie, that he was the Son of God, and that he came back to life after he had died. Only way that you could be saved was by believing those things. The class was shocked. And after a minute of silence, the minister's wife said to me, and I quote, "Well, maybe you don't believe because you aren't one of the chosen." Whoa. I was speechless. I was also deeply hurt. I was embarrassed and humiliated. And I knew that I certainly did not belong with this group, since I was predestined to be going to hell. Well, we continued to live in North Florida for another 4 years. But I started urging my husband to please find a way for us to return to California. I was never comfortable with the Southern culture, with all the fried food, with the barely hidden prejudice, with the heat and the bugs, but also, importantly, with how I would never be anything but the weird girl from California who didn't believe and was going to hell. We moved back to California in 1989 and relocated to Modesto in 1995. By then, I was missing the friendships and the social life and the opportunity to explore more about this thing called religion. I had heard about Unitarian Universalists several times over the years, so I decided to give this little church out here in the Almond Orchard a try. Hurrah! No one asked me if I had a personal relationship with Jesus, or if I believe in miracles, or any of those things that I just couldn't believe. No one seemed to think that was important, or that that would be why anyone would want to come to this church. Here was a church that was interested in finding out how to make the world a better place. A church that was involved in protecting the earth and our environment. A church where we could have discussions about the great thinkers of the world, be they religious figures or scientists or humanitarians or artists. Here was a church that promoted the wholeness of each person and provided opportunities to study and find out what seemed to be true for each person. Here was a church that celebrated diversity of thought and did not feel that people needed to be pigeonholed into one way of thinking. Here I found home. I've been coming here, I tried so hard to get through this without shedding some tears. Those of you who know me, you can laugh. Okay. I've been coming here since 1995, almost 25 years. It was probably about 12 years ago or so that I was thinking back on my struggle to believe, and I felt there must be something really wrong with me that I couldn't believe. And I had the realization that this is no longer a problem or an issue for me. I didn't feel lacking or deficient, or that there was something basically wrong with me anymore. And I don't feel that way anymore. All of that is simply gone. It's wonderful. And I am so grateful for this church that allowed me to feel good about myself again and to believe in me, that I'm just fine. Our UU principles have statements that are not difficult to believe in. One, the inherent worth and dignity of every person. Two, justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. Three, acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth. Four, free and responsible search for truth and meaning. Five, the right of conscience and the use of the democratic process. Six, the goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all. Seven, respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. These are challenging and difficult to live up to, but they are not mystical or some belief without sound basis. I can feel safe and proud of what my church believes in and what we stand for and the work that we do in our community and in the wider world. I am still searching for religious truth, and I have found some answers that suit me well. I am sure I will continue to find out more as I continue my religious journey. But I know there is nothing wrong with me for not being able to believe those miracles. And I am so glad. In this month, where we are exploring the topic of wisdom, I hope that all of you who might be wondering and struggling with the need to believe something that just seems unbelievable, and you might feel that you are deficient somehow, that you find the wisdom to see that you are not wrong, and that you are really and truly just fine, just as you are, and you can take your own religious journey to find that truth for yourself. I wish you happiness on your journey.